Well, today we're continuing in our Colossians series, and we're talking about the strength that the Lord God gives us from the moment of conversion with the indwelling Holy Spirit working in our lives and giving us new abilities, and today especially, the abilities to love other people, to repair relationships and build relationships that would never otherwise be possible. Back when I was about probably 12 years old, maybe my brother Mark was, say, 13 years old, there was this fellow that my dad knew who had a vintage Corvair. You know what Corvairs are? They were General Motors sports cars with rear engine drive like a Porsche, and they were pretty cool, but this one was really rusted out bad, and you know, my brother has substantial disabilities, and the thought was that on my grandfather's miniature farm, Mark might be able actually to drive this old rusted out Corvette around in the fields and have a real driving experience. And so that was the plan. So we went over to pick up this Corvair from this fellow's house, and it was snowing. We're in the Chicago area, so lots of snow in the wintertime. And I remember the car was stuck. It was on the street, but all the snow had come and had kind of blocked it in. And so we had, you know, my dad's car, and then we had the Corvair sitting there, and then somebody had a logging chain. And so the Corvair was stuck in the snow. My dad's car was not. And so we connected the logging chain to the Corvair. And the fellow who was giving us the car was in the Corvair. My dad was in his car, and it was stuck. We just couldn't make it happen. So, you know, here I am. Let's say I'm 12 or 13 years old, 105 pounds, 110 pounds, whatever I was in those days. You know, kind of a squirt. And my dad, so it's stuck. You know, we can't get this thing moving. And my dad said, "All right, David, you go and get in the middle of that logging chain and grab it, and you just pick it up. With all your strength, just try to deadlift it. Pick it up." I said, "Really, you want me just to pick up the chain?" He said, "Yeah, just pick it up." So, you know, the wheels are spinning on both cars. We can't get it going. And I went to the logging chain in the middle. And I grabbed it, and I picked it up, and the Corvair squirted out of the snow. Unbelievable. It was just the mechanical advantage, you know, of that logging chain, and we couldn't get traction. But picking up, you have maximum traction. You know, there's no problem with that. So I picked up the chain, the Corvair moved, and just like that, I was astonished. I told my dad, I had no idea that that would work. He said, "Yeah, well, you know, you weren't slipping and sliding, you just picked it up and you did a good job." So that was that. In the Christian life, here's what the Holy Spirit is going to tell you. I want you to love people. I want you to love people who are hard to love. I want you to build relationships that are hard to build. And I want you to repair relationships that are hard to repair. I want you to walk in the middle of that logging chain and pick it up, and it's going to work. I'm giving you the ability. I'm giving you the mechanical advantage. I'm giving you the spiritual power, the leverage to do what you never thought you could do. And so that's what we have to do in the area of relationships today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and following. Here's the way it goes. "Put on, therefore, as those who are the elect of God, holy and beloved people, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against anyone, just as Christ forgave you, you do so also. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful." And so that's our text today. We're going to look at three really big ideas in that little section of Colossians 3. The first has to do with following the Holy Spirit's promptings in your heart towards building and repairing your Christian relationships. You have to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit because He is prompting you, and you can rebuild and repair these relationships. And then the second thing we're going to look at is following the Holy Spirit's promptings in your heart towards emotional and relational tranquility. So again, following these impulses of the Holy Spirit. And one more time, following the Holy Spirit's impulses in your heart towards thankfulness. And all three of these are like super important in your Christian life. So each one is great. Remember that list that we saw in our reading today. Here are the things we're going to put on. We're going to put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, loving people above all things, and the peace of God that is binding us together in one body. All right, so just to remind you where we've been in the book of Colossians and how that relates to what we're doing today, you're going to see that in the green font here, you're seeing everything that we've been talking about, the impulses of the Holy Spirit, the promptings of the Holy Spirit pulling you to be and to do certain things in your life. And so that's in the green font. In the yellow font, you're going to see this is what you're supposed to do. The yellow font is David, go over to the middle of that logging chain and just pick up on it as hard as you can. So the yellow font is what you're supposed to be doing. So notice that the Holy Spirit is giving you mechanical advantage. The Holy Spirit is working in your heart. That's the green font. So notice what it says. Christ is in you. Do you know how important that is? Christ is in you. That changes everything. Christ is in you. In green font again. Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is what did take place at the moment of your conversion. You were able to separate yourself from the weaknesses of your bodily lusts and desires. And then in verse 12, and you have been risen with him. And so you have a new life in Christ. There's something different on the inside of you. In verse 13, he's made you alive together with Christ. In verse 20, you are dead with Christ from the basic elements of the world. In chapter 3, verse 3, right in the middle of all that, you see, you are dead. The old person that you used to be is just gone. You're much more powerful now than you imagine. And when you go to verse 9 of chapter 3, you have put off the old man. You're not the same person you used to be. In verse 10, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. You're much smarter now than you used to be. There's something different about you. In verse 12, you are now holy ones. You are set apart by God. Something has changed with you and in you. And again, in verse 15, at the very bottom of that slide, the peace of God can rule in your hearts. There is something happening in your heart that's different than before. Now, what's your part in this? That's in the yellow font. What are you supposed to be doing? Well, you see there about halfway down that verbiage from chapter 3, verse 1, seek those things which are above. In verse 2, set your affection on those things which are above. Down toward the bottom of the slide, you see in verse 14, put on love, put on love. And then you see, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let this happen. You know, get out of the way and let this happen. And then one more time, verse 16, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So these are the things you're supposed to do. So something has happened. You know, when I was a kid working on pulling that Corvair out of the snow, there were some things that happened to me over time because I was still just a kid, but I wasn't a baby anymore. So, you know, I'm a big boy. I am, you know, stronger than when I was a little boy. And so Dad knows that. He thinks I might be able to make a difference. I'm different. Something has happened in me. I've grown up. And then I had to, now that something has happened in me, I had to walk over to that logging chain and pick up on it with whatever strength I had. So something is different in you, and you might not realize it. You're a big boy now. You've grown up. Something is different in you, and now you have to also act like it. Walk over to the logging chain and do what you could never otherwise do. All right, now notice again where we are in the whole flow of Colossians, because every part of this is important. In our scripture reading in chapter 3, verse 1, 2 weeks ago, we had in the yellow font, notice this, you are risen with Christ, so seek those things which are above. You are not the same person you used to be. You're connected to the Lord Jesus in your spirit, and the Lord Jesus is in heaven, and so you're connected to him, and your citizenship paperwork is done. You are risen with Christ. You are a citizen of heaven. So on the right-hand side in the yellow font, you are now an official and legal citizen of heaven. So you should be very interested in what's happening in your new home country. Again, on the left-hand side in green font, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ. The person you used to be is gone. You're not a little boy anymore. You've grown up. You have abilities that you didn't have before because Christ is in you, right? And on the right side then in the green font, since the Holy Spirit has now entered into you and infused your personality with his own elevated thoughts and emotions, you can be different. So that has happened. You can walk over to the logging chain and pick up on it and make a difference now. And then on the left side again, you see when Christ is our life shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. This all is about heaven. And in the yellow font on the right side again, you should be setting your affection on these things. Measure all your moment-by-moment choices in life, all of your decisions, all of your behaviors should be measured against this idea that you're a big boy now. The Holy Spirit is in you. You're different than you used to be. And measured against this idea that you're going to be in your own homeland, your own home country really, really soon. So is what you're doing today, does that make sense in light of you're a big boy now and in light of you have a new country, your citizenship is locked. So what you're doing today, does it make sense for that? And it should make sense for that. Again, in verse 5, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. You know, if this is true, you have a new citizenship. You're a big boy now. If this is true, let's put to death the things that don't belong. And that was where we talked about covetousness and lust and improper passions and all those things. Let's put those to death. On the right-hand side, declare war. Put to death, declare war. It's the same, right? And so that's where we've been going the last couple of weeks. And then last week we talked about, and there are some other things to put off besides just covetousness and lust. There are some other things to put off. And those are things like anger and wrath and malice and filthy communication and lying. Let's put those off too. And so in yellow font on the left, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, you're a big boy now. Since you've done that, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of God who created you. Since you have done that, on the right-hand side, remember, in yellow font, since your personalities have actually been made over by the Spirit of Christ in you, you genuinely possess the ability to obey these commands. Anger, wrath, malice, lying, you can put that aside. You can do it. You're a big boy now. If you didn't realize it, you're a big boy now. You can do this. On the left-hand side in green font, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And so on the right-hand side in green font. And furthermore, especially for you Jewish brothers, just to be clear, since God has now withdrawn all the special favor he previously extended to the Jewish race over Gentile races, it is no longer intellectually or morally defensible for you Jewish believers to ever dishonor your Gentile brothers, even your most off-putting Gentile brothers ever. You have to love people, and you can do this. And then today, so put on therefore, because of all these things we've just discussed, therefore put on as elect people of God, as holy people, as beloved people, put on these things. You see, put on at the top and on the right-hand side, follow the new impulses that God is communicating to your heart. Christ, who is in you, says you're a big boy now. You can walk over there and grab that logging chain and make a difference. So do it. You hear that. Now the Lord is saying, you act on that. Put that on now. On the left side in the green font, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. On the right-hand side in the green font, allow God's pull in your heart. You see him pulling you to pick up on the logging chain, right? So you allow that pull towards peace to have mastery over your heart and mastery over all the relationships in your life. You hear what the Lord is telling you to do. You're a big boy now. Walk over to that logging chain and live in peace. And you can do that. On the left-hand side, the bottom yellow font, and be thankful. On the right-hand side, focus your attention on all the things that you can be thankful for in life. See, this is the flow of thought as we look at these things today. All right, so once again, this is the list. We're going to put on these things. We're going to walk over to that logging chain, and we're going to pick up these things. We're going to put these things on. And what are the things? Well, bowels of kindness, mercies, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering in the list. All right? And some of these are worthy of special attention this morning. So let's work through a couple of these together. What are we going to put on? We're going to walk over to that logging chain, and we're going to pick up on that. We're going to put on bowels of mercies. And this is always hard for our culture. I feel the awkwardness, like, bowels? Why are we talking about bowels? That's weird. All right, so, you know, I'm an American. I feel the weirdness of that. But I love this concept in Scripture because it's talking about love that you feel in your bowels, in your gut, and you know, you do feel it. It's the feeling from your throat to your belly button, basically. And that's the feeling of compassion. Sometimes people say, well, you know, love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. The second part of that is totally true. Love is a commitment. But we need to stop saying that love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment with a feeling. And that's why we call it love you can feel in your gut. Bowels of mercy. And what's so interesting is that this is how God feels about it. There are times when God says he feels about, in the book of Jeremiah, God is speaking. And he says, my bowels hurt for Ephraim, my nation. God loves with that kind of feeling. So we have to quit saying, well, you know, love isn't a feeling. Love is a commitment. Love starts with a commitment. But it's a lot more than a commitment. It should be also a feeling. And you want both of those in the Christian life. So the Bible says, then we're going to grab that logging chain and we're going to become tender-hearted people. And you can do that because you're a big boy now. The Holy Spirit's been working in your heart. You can do every bit of that. Did you see, it was all over social media this week, this very sweet, Marissa Torres is a meteorologist for Fox News. And the woman in the middle of this picture is crying because she was in Asheville and she watched her parents and her child get washed away in the water and die. She was sitting there watching that. And as she's telling the story, she cries. And so anyway, what the mother is saying after, you know, watching her 7-year-old son get washed away and drown, she says, he was the smartest, bravest, hopeful, great friend, great son, until the very end when he was screaming for Jesus. In that moment, I think he found joy. He was praying as he drowned, which was just incredible. All right, so there's Marissa on the right-hand side of the screen. She is the meteorologist for Fox News. And she starts to say this in the green font. She says, you know, the innocence of children is actually quite spectacular. And then she says, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And she choked up. She couldn't talk. And then her voice broke with a little sob. And she was crying. And so the meteorologist on the left-hand side of that picture had to take over and finish the report for her. See, she felt it in her gut. Bowels of mercy. I am so sorry. That's what she said. And she started crying. That's what we are told to do in Scripture. Yes, love is a commitment. But this is not a cold, chilly commitment. This is a commitment that we feel in our gut. And if we don't have that kind of compassion and sympathy, then we need to find it because the Lord says, well, you're a big boy now and the Holy Spirit is working on your heart so that you won't be hard-hearted. And you have to tap into that and pay attention when the Holy Spirit says, you know, you're feeling a little emotional about this. Don't tell the Holy Spirit to hush up. Yes, I am feeling a little emotional about this, and that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. One of the items on that list is long-suffering. And, of course, this is such a beautiful idea. Once again, you know, we're in the American culture. I understand that we don't really use the term long-suffering anymore, but it keeps coming up in the Bible. And you could just simplify it and call it patience because it's related to patience. So you can call it that if you want to. But the reason we tend to keep that term in our, you know, Christian vocabulary is because it is so colorful. It's so poignant. It's so dramatic. It's so powerful. And so long-suffering comes from two words in Greek, and one is macro, and the other one is thumia. Macro, you understand, right? That's big. Micro is little. Macro is big. And so this one says big or long, and then thumia is passion. And the idea is it's long to make you angry. Like, it's hard to make that guy angry. It's long to make you angry. Hard to make that guy upset. And again, that's so beautiful. So, you know, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, elect, chosen people of God, holy people, beloved, precious people to God. Put on bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness, mind and meekness and long suffering. Be hard to upset. Simple question. Is it hard to upset you or easy to upset you? Could you get upset by somebody going 5 miles an hour too slow on the interstate, that's not good. If that's how things are, we need to make an adjustment here. And you know you can, because you're a big boy now. You're a big girl now. The Holy Spirit lives in your heart. You should be hard to upset. This is our aspiration. This is the end game. A century ago, and again, this is a little awkward as a story, but it's an important story. A century ago, on a chilly November day, an African-American woman was trying to earn her living by the harbor in New York City. And she had gone to a street corner near the harbor, and she had a basket of apples. And the apples were polished, and each one was in a little tissue, a white tissue wrapper, and put carefully in the basket, and they were beautiful. And she was hoping that, you know, sailors and people near the harbor would like to have an apple. They'd come off and they'd buy from her, and that was her living. And she obviously did not have very much money. Well, it so happened that there were some British sailors who came to America at just that time. Their ship was in the harbor, and one of the British sailors was showing off to his friends and went over and lunged at the woman to scare her. And he kicked her basket of apples, which were down at her feet because her hands were in her apron because it was a chilly day. So she wasn't holding them in her hands. She had them by her feet. And he kicked the basket of apples. And of course, it was filthy there. And so the apples rolled off onto the filth, and all the perfect, you know, white little tissues that they were wrapped in became unusable, filthy. And the sailor was so sure that she was going to go into a tirade and call him lots of names, and then they would all laugh at her because she lost her temper and she was, you know, they were getting a rise out of her. How funny. But she didn't do that. Instead, with eyes tearing up, she stooped down and she started picking up the apples and wiping them off. And she said, "Sir, I pray God will forgive you for doing that. And I want you to know that I forgive you." And when she said that, something snapped in this young sailor's heart. And he realized how awful he had treated her. And he reached into his pocket, took all the money he had, and put it in her hand, insisting that she keep it. And he said to her, "Mother," he addressed her as mother. He said, "Mother, if you really forgive me, I'll never do such a mean thing again the rest of my life." She was hard to make angry, a long time to make her angry. As a matter of fact, maybe no one could make her angry. That's what it means to be long-suffering. It's hard to upset you. Is it hard to upset you? Hopefully the answer is yes. It's very hard to upset me. Sometimes, you know, people come up to Christian brothers and say, "I hope I didn't offend you." You know what we all ought to say? We all ought to say, "Well, don't you just worry about that, because I'm telling you this, you will never offend me. I don't get offended. I'm hard to upset." And hopefully that's you. Now, you're a big boy and a big girl now, and the Holy Spirit is pulling you to this. So when you are easy to upset, when you feel that something is upsetting you, you watch. There's going to be this whisper in your heart, because you are renewed in knowledge after the image of God who created you, renewed in knowledge. So there's this whisper in your heart that says, "You know, you shouldn't be like this." And you can yield to that and say, "You're right, Lord. And I'm not going to be easy to upset. You're right. You're right. See, you're a big boy now, a big girl. You can do this." Bearing with one another. Of course, this is so precious, right? Putting up with the other person's faults, because we all have so many faults. So you have to put up with the other person's faults. And that doesn't mean putting up with it, you know, grudgingly. That means putting up with that because you are honestly cheering for this person in life. So bearing with one another, that's verse 13. And we love the story of Mike Adkins as he talks about it in a book that he wrote called A Man Called Norman. And in the story, it's so great because Mike Adkins is in this small town and there's this man named Norman, and everybody thinks of him as the 6'2" tall, old, crazy guy. And sometimes, you know, you'd see him walking on the sidewalks of his small town, and he would be just like gesturing to the sky and speaking word salad. Words that don't even make sense and in no particular order. And he was just creepy and everybody was afraid of him and he stunk and nobody wanted to be around him. And they just hoped that he would stay away. They put up with him, hoping that he would just stay away from them. And Mike bought a house and he didn't know it. He felt betrayed. He bought a house that was right across the street from Norman, whom everybody knew as a crazy guy. So he buys the house across the street from Norman and think, oh no, what do we get ourselves into? One day Mike is out working in his yard. I think he's planting a tree or something like that. Norman is across the street in his yard and Norman's lawnmower won't start. And so Mike is watching him. He tries and tries to get the lawnmower started. And Norman is intelligent, but he has mental illness. So he can't start the lawnmower. And eventually, Norman sees Mike looking at him, and something happens in Norman, and he raises his arms over his head and roars and runs at Norman. And Norman is thinking, oh no, oh no, no. And then when Norman got to his property line, he stopped and went back to his lawnmower and was, you know, tinkering with the lawnmower. And he looked at Mike again, same thing, and again, three times. Well, you know, Mike just wants to stay away from him, right? But then he just feels like the Lord wants him to reach out to Norman. You know, poor guy. So Mike goes over there and he says, having trouble with your mower, Norman? And what does Norman say? Having trouble with your mower, Norman? He just repeats it. Could be the spark plug, Norman. Could be the spark plug. Well, I'll have a look at it, Norman. Well, I'll have a look at it. So Mike takes out the spark plug, cleans the spark plug, starts like he just came back from the repair shop. Now Norman smiles and doesn't say anything, and Mike walks across the street. And as Mike is going across the street, he gets this impression from God that something important has just happened. All right, so, well, next, this small town has like three different churches. A lot of times church people go to the local Dairy Queen after church. And so they're at this Dairy Queen and Norman is there because, of course, Norman wants to be with other people too, right? And so everybody is observing the 10-foot pole rule with Norman staying far away from me. He doesn't smell good and it's just awkward. Well, Mike decides to go over there and talk to Norman. And so, you know, he has a little conversation with him. And then came Mike and his wife, Carmel. They thought, you know, we should ask Norman to come over and watch the TV special with us at our house. So he says, Norman, would you like, you know, calling Chrissy, would you like to come over and watch the TV special, have dinner with us? He says, okay. And Mike says, 6:30. No response. But around 6:30, Norman comes across. And, of course, he doesn't smell good, but it's okay. And they put him in the best chair because he doesn't see well, so he can see the TV special. He had a really nice time. And then come more visits. Mike pops over to his house from time to time. And Mike decides, you know what, this house is so awful because Norman is a hoarder. And so there are, and not just good things, like cans of empty, you know, empty cans of tuna fish. That just never made it to the garbage can. I mean, it smells terrible. And Mike thinks, you know what? Everything is so awful. I'm going to paint his whole house. Paints the interior, paints the exterior. Then comes this big house cleaning thing. And you know, they get rid of all the things. Norman was so surprised when he could see through the windows. He had never seen through the windows anytime recently. And then a professional baseball game. Norman is always wearing this heavy coat. It's hot, and he's wearing this heavy, long coat. And Mike said, Norman, you know, it's one thing when you wear that around the house and everything, but, you know, we're going to this baseball game, and, you know, they're ready to walk into the park. And you just can't wear that coat. If you wear the coat, we can't go inside. So he says, okay. He takes off his coat. He's wearing two pairs of pants. Two stacked up, and both of them are ripped from the belt loop to the zipper, wide open. And Mike says, well, Norman, I think you ought to wear the coat. But they do the baseball game. Eventually, Mike has two daughters, 5 and 8 years old, and they're starting to think of Norman as a friend. They go to Opryland Amusement Park, and they take Norman along. And after all of this, Mike is talking to Norman. And he's talked with him about spiritual things before. He says, Norman, you have to believe the gospel. You have to trust Jesus as your Savior. You have to reach out to him and take him as your Savior. Do you understand me? Norman said, yes. And he said, so will you do that? He said, okay. So he prayed like this. This is his prayer. He's going to talk about himself as Norman. He says, well, God, I want to ask you to come into Norman's heart and be my Savior. Because that's what the preachers used to say on the radio on Sunday morning. My mama used to listen to them. And that's what the Bible over there says that I've been reading for myself. And so come into my heart. Come into Norman's heart and be my Savior. Amen. And he looked at Mike. Did I do okay? Mike says, yeah, you did just fine. So they became buddies. And eventually, Norman quit repeating what everybody said. And eventually, he learned to take baths so he wouldn't be off-putting to people. And then they were buddies, Mike and Norman, until Norman went to the nursing home because he was just too sickly. But he wanted to go to the nursing home. It was great to him because they give him lots of food and attention and baths. It was great to him. So he was glad to go. But see, you had to bear with Norman. You have to put up with some things, you know, because maybe that's not how you'd prefer life to be. Maybe that's not how you'd prefer other people that you're around to smell or to look like or to act like. But you have to bear with people. And you can. You know why? Because you're a big boy now. You're a big girl now. Say, I can't do that. You have to stop saying that. Yes, you can too. Because Christ is in you. And you are renewed in knowledge after the image of God who created you. Yes, you can too. You can do it. Forgiving one another. And that means releasing others. Let it go. Like if I see you at Kmart, I don't want you, no more Kmart. If I see you at Walmart, I don't want you to think, oh no, Dave's going to come after me because I owe him something. No. Farthest thing from my mind, you don't owe me anything. Let it go. It's gone, forgotten. I don't even want you to think about that anymore. That's what it means to forgive people. Ari Torrey talked about a woman that he was witnessing to, and she had a terrible guilty conscience. And she wanted to follow the Lord, but she knew the Lord wanted her to forgive her father or to forgive this individual. And she just couldn't. So I want to follow you, Lord, but I'm not going to do that. So Tori is talking to her, and he says, why won't you follow the Lord, really? She said, there's somebody I cannot forgive. They've done me a wrong. And Tori says, but you must forgive. She says, I can't. He says, are you willing to pray that God would take the bitterness out of your heart? She said, yes. He said, well, why don't you kneel down right here and ask him? And he says her knees barely touched the floor, and she burst into tears, and she felt the hate just lifting away from her. See, that's extraordinary. You say, I can't forgive. Yes, you can. You're a big boy now. You're a big girl now. Christ is in you. You're renewed in knowledge. You have a different way of thinking about things. Yes, you can. Love above all things, because everything we've talked about here has been about love. Forgiveness is love, and bearing with people is love, and long-suffering is love, and all of these descriptions of, you know, bowels of mercy, all of this is love. Now we have to say something quickly about emotional and relational tranquility, because that's part of this. The peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And this is peaceful interactions with people. Are you a peacemaker? Like when you walk into a room, things settle down, right? Because you're a peacemaker. You're not a drama maker. You're a peacemaker. You think, okay, well, I have to control my behavior. But it's more than that. You're not just going to control your behavior. You're going to control your behavior because there's peace on the inside. Coffee splashed out of the cup when it was jostled because coffee was in the cup when it was jostled. If soup had been in the cup, then soup would have splashed out of it when it was jostled. Irritation came out of your mouth and your manners when you were jostled because irritation was already in your heart. If peace had been in your heart when you got jostled, then peace would have come out of your mouth and out of your manners. So it all starts. We're not just saying control your behavior. We're saying control your heart. But how can I? Well, don't you think that if you were to focus on the indwelling Christ's presence in you and what he's pulling your heart to do, you know those whispers? If you were to focus on the pulls that you feel in your heart from Christ, pulls about how your own worst moments have been forgiven and overlooked by God, wouldn't it be hard for you to stay angry at that person if you focused on what the Lord has done for you, how he overlooks your worst moments? I mean, what if we could play a video of your life up here, of all of your worst moments, the bad things you've said to people, the mean things you've done? We'll just show everybody. How would you like that? You don't like that? Well, the Lord overlooks that. Now, if you focus on that, don't you think it'd be hard for you to stay angry at another person? How about if you're focusing on the pulling where the Lord is making you recall your reward if you minister to the least of these? What if you focus on that? You know, if I do take care of this person who bugs me, that's where my reward is. As the Lord, that whisper, you know, you're just going to listen to that? Now, wouldn't it be hard for you to remain hard toward that person if those are the things you're thinking about? And let's talk about just thankfulness for a moment. It says, and be thankful. And we keep seeing that in the book of Colossians, right? In green font. Walk worthy of the Lord. This is chapter 1, verse 10. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasingness. In verse 12, giving thanks. Walk worthy, giving thanks. In chapter 2, verse 6, as you've received Christ Jesus Lord, so walk in him, establishing the faith, abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. Always thanks, thanksgiving. Chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do, do all, giving thanks. Chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer with thanksgiving. So in our text here, be thankful. Once again, it is always possible to be thankful. And our closing story here comes from Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife. And she talks about how being thankful changes everything. So she said, exhausted as I was, I awoke around 3 o'clock in the morning. The name of someone I loved dearly had flashed into my mind. Instantly, I was wide awake. When it's dark and the imagination runs wild, there are fears only a mother can understand. The Lord brought to her mind Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. She says, suddenly I realized the missing ingredient in my prayers had been with thanksgiving. So I began to thank God at 3 o'clock in the morning. I began to thank God for giving me this one I loved so dearly in the first place. And I even thanked him for the difficult spots which taught me so much. And you know what happened? It was as if someone turned on the lights in my mind and heart. And the little fears and worries that had been nibbling away in the darkness hurriedly scuttled away. That was when I learned that worship and worry cannot live in the same heart. They are mutually exclusive. That's so great. The Bible says, just be thankful. You're going to love all these people. You think, but what if I have like these churning emotions? I don't want to love them. Oh, well then, be thankful. And when you start to list all the things that you're thankful for, you're going to find that your mood lifts and the bad feelings melt away. And so that was her experience. So we've talked about following those whispers of the Holy Spirit, because you're a big boy now, a big girl now. You can listen to that. You can do it. We're going to listen to those whisperings, the pull of Christ, where it comes to building and repairing Christian relationships, when it comes to emotional and relational tranquility, and when it comes to thankfulness. We're going to listen to those things because the Lord is always giving us the opportunity to listen to his voice and to go to that logging chain and pick up on it and make a difference, because you're a big boy now, a big girl now, and you can.